Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. There is a great new book out, another great story. You know, we brought you a lot of stories about how things went down in Afghanistan. And this is a story that I have not heard. It's called The Secret Gate, a true story of courage and sacrifice during the collapse of Afghanistan. And it's just, it's so surprising the different stories that come out of this. One of the author, Mitch Zuckoff, is with us. Mitch, how are you?
I'm good, Randy. Thanks for having me on.
You know, it's amazing to me, you know, how many stories, and I would imagine years from now, right, we'll be looking back and hear another story about these stories of heroism and escape and how people, how everybody kind of found their way through that situation.
It's so true. I mean, you know, what I've learned, you know, I've been a reporter and a journalist for a long time, is in these extraordinary moments, people who are seemingly ordinary suddenly, you know, sort of rise to the occasion, do extraordinary things. It's, you know, the old version of you know, a mother lifting a school bus off a child where, you know, under the duress, they suddenly rise. And I think you're right. I think we're going to keep finding these stories. I feel incredibly fortunate to have found this one.
Do you know the guys or the team behind Operation Dynamo? Do you know those guys or have you heard of them?
I don't know the Dynamo guys. I know the Operation Pineapple guys. I'm not as familiar with Dynamo, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of deal. You know, some contractors, some people who were not in the military that came to the aid of a lot of interpreters and different people that were trapped there. And you just keep hearing these kind of stories. But now this one is very unique because I think it centers, what, on three individuals?
Exactly. And, you know, if I can stay with what you just were talking about a second, Randy, it's just so much of this is the product of 20 years of engagement in Afghanistan. We have so many American service people, so many American contractors who forged, you know, deep ties in that country. And, you know, there's a huge swath of this country who have no idea about it. And Afghanistan still seems far away. But you've got so many tens of thousands of people who rotated through there, who worked there, and, you know, felt an obligation to the people who helped them, who in some cases saved their lives. So those ties are very real.
We just had a story about a company who is finding jobs in America for American or for Afghanistan interpreters that helped with the military there, or finding them jobs in America. And I just think that's so fantastic. And I wonder at the same time, what kind of a bond do you have to put yourself out there like that to make those kind of things happen for somebody that maybe you just met 3 years ago?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we've all seen it. People, you know, who've served together under those circumstances where, you know, you're in a, in a terrible situation, you're taking fire together. There's a bond. And I think for a lot of people I've talked to, I'm sure you've talked to even more, they know that becomes a sort of a brotherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about this book a little bit, The Secret Gate,
sure.
A true story of courage and sacrifice during the collapse of Afghanistan. And this is based on three remarkable people, a feminist Afghan writer, a young American diplomat, and a New York literary agent. I mean, it's almost like a sitcom if it were funny, right?
It's true. These are three people you would never find in the same room, you know, normally or in the same atmosphere, you know, right? But it's just an extraordinary set of circumstances. So the first person you mentioned is a woman named Omira Kadiri. And Omira is exactly everything we hoped for Afghan women, you know, to gain an education, to gain their independence. She is an activist and an author and a sort of, you know, a public figure in Afghanistan. And so when the Taliban comes and returns suddenly, you know, surprisingly in August of 2021, she at first doesn't want to leave. She doesn't think they're going to make it to Kabul. And she's got a wonderful life. She's kind of a celebrity in Afghanistan. She's on TV all the time and writing books. And so she holds back and she says, I don't want to leave. And by the time she realizes she has to leave, because the barbarians have not just reached the gates, they've reached the gates. she realizes it's now or never, but it's too late. She can't get to the airport. Mm. And now, in the meantime, we have the second character, the second real story in this book, is Sam Aronson. He's this young State Department diplomat who, when everything went sideways in Afghanistan, he was home in Washington between assignments. And he's a young guy, 31 years old, kind of allergic to an activity, and says, sure, I'll help. I'll volunteer. He doesn't know Afghanistan. He's never been to the country.
Wow.
And next thing he knows, he's on a plane to Kabul. He ends up there and realizes this is worse than anything I could have imagined.
Right.
The, you know, tens of thousands of people storming the gates of the airport, you know, pressing against the walls of the airport, hoping to get on a plane out. And his job is suddenly to vet them, to make sure that they were interpreters, they were former embassy workers, or you know, had a reason to sort of justify the at-risk status.
And what does he know?
Right.
Right.
He's figuring it out on the fly with, with an interpreter, where he's trying to look at enough documents to prove that, yes, this person was in the Afghan military and is under threat of death. And I'll let him and his wife and his three kids come. Mm. And they're doing it on the fly. He's got contractors at his back, you know, because people are clawing at him, begging for salvation. And while he's there, he discovers that the CIA is actually running a back door to the airport. So there are all these main gates, this Abbey Gate, North Gate, South Gate.
Right.
And then there's this secret gate, which is called, you know, it had many names, but one of the names they used was Glory Gate. And the CIA had set it up in the northwest corner of the airport as a back door for high-value subjects or targets to bring in away from the crowds. And Sam says, wait a second, maybe I can use that to help some people, because there are a lot of people who, you know, we were talking earlier about these different efforts, these contractors, right. And there were people emailing him and emailing friends of friends, or the State Department, or literally the Pope was sending requests to this tiny State Department team in Afghanistan, saying, could you help this person who used
really?
To be part of the papal ministry? Yes, senators, congress people.
Yeah.
There were just tens of thousands of calls, emails, texts flowing in, and, you know, just trying to even, you know, do triage on them was impossible. But one hit Sam's desk that just he realized there was something different about it. And that brings in the third person we were talking about. So there's this literary agent, Marley Roussoff. And Omira had published a book here in the United States, and Marley was her literary agent. And the book was called Dancing in the Mosque. And it was about her sort of becoming an independent woman in a world where, you know, that was not permitted. And now the name of the book alone labeled her an infidel in the eyes of the Taliban. She's dead. I mean, literally, you know, like they don't need to read the book. They just see the cover and she's the author, and we're going to make an example of her. So Marley is trying everything. Marley is sending emails. She's calling people. She's calling, you know, literally dozens and hundreds of people. And she finally realizes, well, wait a second. And she remembers her college boyfriend, and I adore Marley, but she is not a young woman, let's put it that way. We're going back about 50 years to college.
Right. Good memory.
And her college boyfriend is a guy named Sam Hines, and Sam rose up to great success and actually became an ambassador, a U.S. ambassador late in life in the Netherlands. And so she said, well, maybe Sam knows somebody in the State Department. So Marley sends an email to Sam saying, you have to help me. If I can't get Omira and her 8-year-old son, Siavash, out, they're going to be killed. So Sam Hines sends an email. It's just a weird coincidence. His former assistant from when he was an ambassador is right now in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
And this guy hands over this email because he heard that Sam had figured, Sam Aronson, had figured out some back door. And this sets in motion this high stakes, against the clock battle to try to get Omera and Siavash and ultimately Omera's brother, one of Omera's brothers, to the airport before the last plane goes wheels up.
I mean, Mitch, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it sounds like a movie, which it probably will be, but it's just fascinating. The book is called The Secret Gate, a true story of courage and sacrifice during the collapse of Afghanistan. But, I mean, for all of these things to come together, and we have heard different versions of this story with different people in the, you know, the 13th hour when everything's going to collapse and you either get out or you die. And so I'm so amazed at every time I hear of one of these situations happening. I mean, you know, people are making decisions at breakneck speed, and you got to make the right decision. You got to make sure that you're talking to the right person. So many things that have to fall into place, right?
That's exactly right. And the circumstances, too, this is after the suicide bombing at Abbey Gate. And so everyone is on high alert. Everybody just wants to get away from there, from the American team. And it's even harder to get to the airport because literally there's, you know, 13 American servicemen and women have just been killed outside Abbey Gate,
right.
170 or so Afghans as well. So everyone's on high alert. And now if you're Sam Aronson, you're this young American diplomat saying, I've got to trust that this person who I'm being told is a high risk Afghan is who she says she is. And isn't another person, you know, so the most dangerous thing in these situations is figuring out who to trust. Because Sam could have been bringing in another, you know, another suicide bomber. He feared.
Right. And put him on a plane.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, and at the same time, you know, Omera, you know, she's not what we would say typically call, you know, your stereotypical refugee. This is not someone who has had their house destroyed by an earthquake or a flood with nothing to show for herself. She doesn't want to leave Afghanistan. She's a tremendous success there.
Wow.
And she has to trust that this stranger, this man, Sam Aronson, whose name she's just learned at the last minute, is going to protect her and her son and her brother and take them to a place that they never heard of with nothing. You know, they end up in deep in Texas in a refugee camp. And so the amount of trust and the amount of humanity that gets involved in these stories is just, to me, as somebody who gets the good fortune to tell them, it's just overwhelming.
Hey, Mitch, how did you find out about this story, and how did you go about, number one, validating it for yourself, but then kind of articulating that to someone else?
Well, I got this call. So Marley, the literary agent, so I've written previous books, and Marley is in the literary world, and she was talking to one of my former editors, a woman named Claire Wachtel, and she and Claire go back decades. They're very close friends. And Marley said, you know, Claire, I got involved in this thing where one of my authors needed to get out of Afghanistan. And Claire said something like, you know, just stop right there. Let's get Mitch on the phone. And
wow.
It was just an enormously good piece of fortune that Claire thought of me and Marley vetted me and said, yes, this is a person. You know, I wrote the book 13 Hours in Benghazi. I've written stories like this. I know people in these worlds. And so my credibility became, you know, valuable, I guess, to them because I could vet this and I could confirm with State Department sources and with other sources, yes, this is what happened as they say they did. Hmm. And they said it did. And so I just dropped everything. You know, when you hear even just the basic outlines of a story this good and this important, I was working on some other projects and this was late in 2021. I just stopped everything and said, I need to talk to Sam Aronson. I need to talk to America Deary. I need to talk to Marley Roussoff. And I was off to the races.
Yeah, we're talking to Mitch Zuckoff here in the National Defense. The book is called The Secret Gate. And it just, I mean, it sounds, you know, it sounds like you're making it up. And all of these stories that I hear sound like that. And they all come down to just the very last second. And the people that are involved in these stories, like we talked about before, not only have they formed, in a lot of times, a bond in Afghanistan, but I would imagine in this situation, these people will never be strangers to each other.
That's such a good observation, Randy. It's so true. You know, they have such sort of, you know, respectful, deep feelings for each other that when I talked to Amara, she said, you know, Sam is our friend forever.
Right.
You know, it's just like, and she just puts an end to the conversation at that point. That this is now exactly that. It's a bond. And interestingly, there are other bonds formed as well. So when Sam Aronson was trying to figure out how to get outside the airport, how to go into the dark, where, you know, with a borrowed pair of night vision goggles. I'm not that good. I can't make this up. I mean, like, there are some wonderful novelists who could have thought of this. But he ended up enlisting this young man, Assad, who had been an interpreter for Special Forces for a couple of years. And so Assad had, was an enormously brave young man. And so Sam, in exchange for helping Assad's sister and his sister's family get out, Assad helped Sam with all of these efforts at Glory Gate. Yeah. And to this day, Sam and Assad are still close friends. Sam just saw Assad in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago for Assad's engagement party.
Oh, wow.
So these are people who never would have met, who never crossed paths. And just as you say, Randy, they are in each other's lives forever now.
And Mitch, the other thing that turns this on its head from everything we've ever seen with a military situation is that our United States military is gone. And the people that we have there on the ground in Afghanistan, whether they're connected militarily, governmentally, they can't do anything. And that's the real kind of surprising thing about all of this is that other people have to step up, like you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the military at that point was put into a defensive posture to basically just secure the airport.
Right.
But anything, I mean, it was such a bizarre situation. If we think back to August of 2021, where, you know, the Taliban is effectively controlling the streets on the way to the airport, mm-hmm. and our military, there was a last minute influx of several thousand military men and women to secure the airport, are right outside, and so they are literally, you know, within a rifle shot of each other. Suddenly, after 20 years of battling, you know, and it was an extraordinary tense situation. And add into that ISIS-K, so which hates both the United States and the Taliban.
Right.
And
right.
They're the ones, you know, they're the ones who set off the bomb at Abbey Gate.
Yeah.
And so this is just a tinder keg. And, you know, you don't know which way things are going to go wrong.
Yeah, and I am just so – that's so compelling to me about the secret CIA entrance at the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. And how many people ended up knowing about that? I would guess not very many.
You could fit them in a room.
Yeah.
Literally. And, you know, so there was, you know, there were two different CIA paramilitary guys who alternated running it, basically. And there were some Delta guys, and there was some Afghan army. They used their gatekeepers were a number of friendly Afghan army troops who they used for crowd control, just in case anything got problematic. But you know, I have pictures of the gate, and you know, it's funny, we're calling it a gate. It's not really a gate, and that's the whole point of it.
Right.
It's a back service road that leads to a break in the fence to or in the wall to the airport. And so, you know, it's kind of hidden in plain sight. You're driving past on the northern edge of the airport and on Tajikan Road, and you know, you might notice, oh, that's strange. There's some concrete barriers, and there seem to be some American military guys roaming around. But you know, these are hardened operators, and so they don't, you know, they're not dressed in uniform, obviously. And it just turns out that was a way that when the tens of thousands of people are clamoring to get into Abbey Gate or East Gate or North Gate, that they could sneak people past.
You know, and when you, I hear you telling this, Mitch, and it's so funny because at one point, at every point in your story, you just expect Jack Bauer to jump through and make everything okay. But there's no Jack Bauer. These are just ordinary people that are just trying to do their best. And that's exactly it.
It's ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's exactly how I saw it throughout. And it just, you know, these are not people with these extraordinary, as you say, you know, like, you know, Jack, they're not Jack Bauer.
Right.
They're people trying to make the best of it.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to read this. It's called The Secret Gate, A True Story of Courage and Sacrifice During the Collapse of Afghanistan, published by Random House. I you know, you get published by Random House, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I'm very happy to be a Random author, yes.
have you already talked about making this into a movie?
We are. I wish I could announce it on your show. I'm told that somebody will break something if I do say any more.
you might be behind another secret gate if you say anything.
That's right.
But when you can, you should come back on. Let's talk about that, man.
I'd love to.
It's so fascinating, Randy. Mitch, thank you so much for taking the time, man. I can't wait to read this.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.